This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Rinkitink in Oz, wherein is recorded the perilous quest of Prince Inga of Pingaree and King Rinkitink in the magical isles that lie beyond the borderland of Oz, by L. Frank Baum, Royal Historian of Oz. Introducing this story. Here is a story with a boy hero, and a boy of whom you have never before heard. There are girls in the story, too, including our old friend Dorothy, and some of the characters wander a good way from the land of Oz before they all assemble in the Emerald City to take part in Ozma's banquet. Indeed, I think you will find this story quite different from the other histories of Oz, but I hope you will not like it the less on that account. If I am permitted to write another Oz book, it will tell of some thrilling adventures encountered by Dorothy, Betsy Bobbin, Trot, and the Patchwork Girl, right in the land of Oz, and how they discovered some amazing creatures that never could have existed outside of fairyland. I have an idea that about the time you are reading this story of Rinkitink, I shall be writing that story of adventures in Oz. Don't fail to write me often and give me your advice and suggestions, which I always appreciate. I get a good many letters from my readers, but every one is a joy to me, and I answer them as soon as I can find time to do so. L. Frank Baum, Royal Historian of Oz. Oscott at Hollywood, in California, 1916. Chapter 1. The Prince of Pingaree. If you have a map of the land of Oz handy, you will find that the great Nonestic Ocean washes the shores of the kingdom of Rinkitink, between which and the land of Oz lies a strip of the country of the Nome King and a sandy desert. The kingdom of Rinkitink isn't very big, and lies close to the ocean, all the houses and the king's palace being built near the shore. The people live much upon the water, boating and fishing, and the wealth of Rinkitink is gained from trading along the coast and with the islands nearest it. 4 days' journey by boat to the north of Rinkitink is the island of Pingaree, and as our story begins here, I must tell you something about this island. At the north end of Pingaree, where it is the widest, the land is a mile from shore to shore, but at the south end it is scarcely half a mile broad. Thus, although Pingaree is 4 miles long from north to south, it cannot be called a very big island. It is exceedingly pretty, however, and to the gulls who approach it from the sea, it must resemble a huge green wedge lying upon the waters, for its grass and trees give it the color of an emerald. The grass came to the edge of the sloping shores. The beautiful trees occupied all the central portion of Pingaree, forming a continuous grove where the branches met high overhead, and there was just space beneath them for the cozy houses of the inhabitants. These houses were scattered everywhere throughout the island, so that there was no town or city, unless the whole island might be called a city. The canopy of leaves high overhead formed a shelter from sun and rain, and the dwellers in the grove could all look past the straight tree trunks and across the grassy slopes to the purple waters of the Nonestic Ocean. At the big end of the island at the north stood the royal palace of King Kitticut, the lord and ruler of Pingaree. It was a beautiful palace built entirely of snow-white marble and capped by domes of burnished gold, for the king was exceedingly wealthy. All along the coast of Pingaree were found the largest and finest pearls in the whole world. These pearls grew within the shells of big oysters, and the people raked the oysters from their watery beds, sought out the milky pearls, and carried them dutifully to their king. Therefore, once every year, His Majesty was able to send 6 of his boats, with 60 rowers and many sacks of the valuable pearls, to the kingdom of Rinkitink, where there was a city called Gilgad, in which King Rinkitink's palace stood on a rocky headland, and served, with its high towers, as a lighthouse to guide sailors to the harbor. In Gilgad, the pearls from Pingaree were purchased by the king's treasurer, and the boats went back to the island laden with stores of rich merchandise and such supplies of food as...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?